Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 14, the Gospel of Mark. And we're turning to chapter 14. The title of today's message is, But Failures Aren't Finished. But Failures Aren't Finished. In this morning's message, if you're taking notes, I'm going to show you four signs of self-sufficient failure. Can failure be self-sufficient? Oh, yes, that's the worst kind. The self-sufficient failure, the worst kind of all, because the dependence was upon mankind, human flesh. When you think of the mighty power of human flesh, where does that lead you? It leads me to failure. And so this morning, if you and I can begin to grasp what Peter grasped in this passage. Now again, let me just take you back just for a moment. Look what it says in that very last verse in Mark chapter 14, verse 72. It says, And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him. If this passage this morning is about moving from failure to faithful victory, do you not believe that we would find in this very passage the answer? Not merely a description of the problem, but the solution, the answer. How do you get out of this? Pay close attention, because it's right there in verse 72. Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, not what everybody else said, what Jesus said unto him, and it also tells you in that very last sentence, and when he thought thereon, he wept. Let's go back and see if we can diagnose and discuss. And again, this is all in order to understand this series on 2 Peter that we're going to launch into. I need for you to go back with me all the way back to verse 27 of Mark chapter 14. Now remember where we are as we've discussed this series. We looked at Matthew chapter 16. We saw where the Lord Jesus Christ said, Whom do men say that I am? And the apostles who were with him said, Well, some people say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others. And then he said, Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. What a stellar day for the apostles. What a wonderful day. And yet, as they were there in Caesarea Philippi, near that very dark cave, on that occasion, in a few moments' time, when the Lord Jesus Christ began to describe the plan, he began to prophesy about the future and talk about the plan. Whose plan? God's plan. He began to describe God's plan, not only for himself, but also for them. Peter pulled him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter, you just said he's the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And you're going to take the Christ, the Son of the Living God, aside and rebuke him? Folks, if you and I do not look very, very carefully at our own flesh, if you and I do not recognize that we are capable in the power of our mighty flesh, if we do not recognize that we are also capable of such ironic inconsistency, then we're going to have a hard time turning away from the power of our mighty flesh. You see the seed that we began to understand in Matthew 16. You see it begin to grow into a poisonous weed here in Mark chapter 14. And this is why, as we look at the progress and look at the progression, we need to go back and understand what is really going on. Look at verses 27 and 28. And Jesus, this is, by the way, is right after that tremendous time in the upper room when they had sung in verse 26 a hymn. They went out from the Mount of Olives rejoicing over the power of the Word of God. He had told them, he had reminded them. You can go back to John 14, 15, 16. You can read the Olivet Discourse. You can read about what happened there. I should say the Upper Room Discourse and read about what he said there. But it says in verse 27, and Jesus said unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For, note the words, it is written. The Lord Jesus Christ was laying this out. He was making it so very plain, because it is written, the Word of God, quoting from the Old Testament, it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Who's the shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who are the sheep? It's his disciples and the apostles and other disciples he's referring to here. And so the Lord is laying this out. He is saying, this is part of God's plan. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But, verse 28, don't you love the buts in the Word of God, the contrast that you find? But, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Verses 27 and 28 are remarkable for their stark contrast. Verse 27 looks bad. I mean, it really looks ugly. Verse 28 is beautiful. Verse 28 is transforming. Verse 28 pulls the rug out from under verse 27 and shows you, but here is how the ultimate victory will come. Now, it's going to be very, very easy for all of us to think about the status quo. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan who described status quo as the Latin for the mess we are in? And that, when you and I look at the status quo, we look at just, you know, where we live, it's going to be very, very easy for all of us to just get attached to the way things are. Do you remember over in Jeremiah chapter 12, when Jeremiah was talking to the people about this, and he said, and if in the land of peace wherein you trust they wearied thee, how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, if what you are trusting in right now is everything is just sort of just going to keep on going just like it's going, you may be in for a genuine shock. Then the question is, then how will you respond? Now again I say, the Lord laid out his plan here in verse 27. He told them the plan, here's the plan, but, verse 28, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Here's Peter, verse 29. Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Doesn't your flesh rise up in this very same way? Others may be that way, but look, I have a giant S, a Superman, written on my chest. By the way, my kids actually gave me a Superman shirt for Father's Day, but I'm not going to let it go to my head. I really am not. I may wear it to a work day or something just to prove that they gave it to me, but I'm not going to let it go to my head. But isn't there a temptation in every one of us to have that, you know, that Superman type flesh idea about ourselves, though all men will be offended? And therein lies the failure, folks. There it is. If you're looking for this first sign of self-sufficient failure, watch it here. Your self-sufficient failure springs from your rejection of God's specific plan for you. It springs from your specific, very specific rejection. Your rejection of God's specific plan for you. See this in Peter? The Lord is saying here, all of you are going to be offended. You are all going to stumble at this very difficult time. All of you are going to be offended. He's really talking to them about their attitude, about what's going ready to happen. What does Peter say about his attitude? Not me, Lord. Not me. You know. Oh, Peter. You know, other. Not Peter. Peter, he's going to bring you through. And folks, that's exactly what gets us into our problems. That's exactly how it happens. Our blindness, in that sense, is self-induced. I think when we get to 2 Peter chapter 1, and Peter talks about the fact, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, I think Peter is probably thinking about situations just like this. And if you and I would be wise, if we would use the Word of God to look ahead and to anticipate, if we would use the Word of God to anticipate what is ahead and learn from Peter's mistakes, it says in Proverbs, the ear that hears the reproofs of life abides among the wise. If you and I would hear the reproofs of life here and look ahead, I believe we could avoid some of these failures. But we do have to recognize that to the degree our self-sufficient flesh is in charge, it's going to result in failure. You heard me talk about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's a formula that I've been working on in my own spiritual life, and it goes like this. My control equals my corruption. My control equals my corruption. The Lord was saying here, here's what's getting ready to happen. Peter says, no, I'm in control. Others may be out of control. I'm in control. I'm sure I'm in control. Don't you doubt my self-control. I am in control here. But what you're seeing here is he was specifically rejecting the plan of God. You know where I think you can see this? You can see it in your insistence that you can control your own spirit, that somehow you are in control of your own spirit. That's where you can see it. Yeah, my attitude's not out of line. I'm in control. You know, I'm not bitter. I'm just hurt. I'm not bitter. I'm just frustrated. You see, if you and I are like Peter and say, though all men shall be offended, yet not me, that is not a problem because I am in control of my own spirit. It's actually a mark of just how blind we really are and how deep this corrupting dye of self-sufficiency actually runs. So as I say, if you're looking for this first sign, your self-sufficient failure springs from your rejection of God's specific plan for you. Dearly beloved, it was God's plan to smite the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, to put him on that cruel cross. It was God's plan that the sheep would be scattered. But praise God, it was God's plan, according to verse 28, that after he was risen, he would bring them back together again. Peter says, Lord, I know better than you know. Listen, what has your time in the Word of God been like the last few days? In your personal time with the Lord, what is it that has stayed with you? What about His word is still sizzling on the altar of the center stage of your mind, and you're dwelling on it, and you're thinking about it, and you are confronting life with His words in your mind? If this morning you would say, I don't have any of those, then may I say to you that what you are trying to do is you're trying to live life in your own power. There's that self-sufficiency. It's the insistence, I can control my spirit apart from the Word of God. I think we have to use the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, quoting from the psalmist, when he said, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Lord, help me with my spirit. Help me with my attitude. If the Lord says this is the plan, then this is the plan. Lord, I submit myself to your plan instead of trying to impose my own plans on them.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.
If you'd like to hear more of these radio broadcasts on the life of Peter, you can also listen online at cbcfindlay.org. That's cbcfindlay.org.